You're listening to Cinema Central. I'm your host, DJ Ace, and thanks again, once again, for tuning in. Last time I did my spoiler review of Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, and kind of something I discovered with some conversations with other people is that while that's a good review, it does go into the spoilers, so a lot of people actually couldn't listen to it because they hadn't seen the movie yet. So I want to take a different approach with this review. I am going to be talking about a series of movies, but there's going to be a non-spoiler thing, and I figured with Christmas and New Year's, lots of people going to go to the theaters, and hopefully you're going to go to the theaters, and I wanted to do kind of a shorter review, non-spoiler, of all these films that just came out recently. I saw them, I liked them all, so I want to talk about those movies, and here we go. Again, no spoilers, and it should be fun. All right, so to begin, Bumblebee is the prequel Transformers movie that has buzzed into theaters and currently has a 94% on Rotten Tomatoes with an average score of 7.1 and a score of 7.3 on IMDb as of December 23rd. Hailee Steinfeld stars in the movie and she does a fantastic job. She plays Charlie, who is a teenager who is kind of an outcast with this punk rocker vibe. But more importantly, she is way more relatable as a character than in previous Transformers films, just like with her actual life struggles. And she has realistic relationship expectations with the other character, Memo, played by George Lindenborg Jr., who is also kind of funny in this movie because he's like totally awkward because he's like totally in her. Anyway, the Transformers animation and style of this film are straight from the old cartoons and the old toys. And it is just nice that they don't try to go for the more realistic approach and just embracing the roots of the franchise. The soundtrack for this movie is a love letter to the 80s, with this movie taking place in 1987. I even bought this soundtrack and I've been jamming to it ever since. This movie does what a good Transformers movie should do, and that is to have humans interacting with Transformers in a meaningful way and learning from each other through the experiences and being a better person slash robot by the end of the adventure, which is just awesome. The Decepticons featured in this movie, Shatter and Dropkick and also Blitzwing, were all menacing in one way or another, and way more Decepticon-y than in the previous films. And best of all, none of them are stereotypical or racist. I love it. I'm so happy that like we had normal bad guy robots, okay? The action in this movie is solid, with good comedy interspersed throughout and during some of the action. And if for some reason you're a fan of the Bane-ness, there are still plenty of explosions. John Cena is also in this movie, and he plays Agent Burns, and though it's never explicitly stated, he's part of Sector 7, and he is really there to play one role, that of a typical soldier agent guy, but he does it very well, and he's actually like portrayed as being way smarter than what we have seen from agencies or the military in previous films. But probably the best part of this movie is that it retcons the rest of the franchise. Oh yeah. Which means the future is bright. And if there's one con, I would say that I wouldn't be surprised if certain 80s styles suddenly came back. All around, it was just a pleasant movie-going experience. I enjoyed myself, but I can't decide fully if that's because it's generally a good movie or if it's the fact that it is just infinitely better than its predecessors. So if you have a moment to go check out this movie over the holidays, you can decide which one it is and enjoy yourself either way. Aquaman has swum into theaters and has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 64% with an average score of 6 and a score of 7.7 on IMDb as of December 23rd. The movie really starts after the opening exposition voiced by Jason Momoa, but when it does pick up steam, it goes in swinging, doing a good job of showing Arthur Curry as a BA superhero that enjoys what he can do. The first fight sequence is really exciting and well done, and the movie showcases his powers really well during this sequence. Also, Jason Momoa is a total dude. In fact, you can look up online that at the Aquaman premieres, Momoa has been doing traditional tribal dances, which is just totally awesome and solidifies him as a dude and a BA. The visual effects in this film really show you what the budget was like because of all the underwater sequences, which looked really cool. The biggest thing I appreciate about this movie is that it dives straight into the comic book lore, meaning as we have seen in the trailer, Aquaman is going to get the classic orange-green suit, Black Manta gets the crazy beam helmet, and even Ocean Master gets to wear his ridiculous mask. Also, Atlanteans riding sharks. Enough said. The only thing that was really missing was a megalodon. However, the movie does run pretty long. The good news is that most of the time they are explaining things, the plot is still moving forward. And it goes without saying that this is a true origin film for Jason Momoa's Aquaman and his journey of being the reluctant hero, which unfortunately is the approach they took in Man of Steel. However, this movie is still way more vibrant. Also, Hollywood in general is getting scary good at their de-aging CGI. Like, scary good. One performance that did surprise me pleasantly in this film was that Dolph Lundgren plays King Nereus, who is Mera's father. Mera is played by Amber Heard, and she had a brief appearance in Justice League. And speaking of actors you can't go wrong with, Willem Dafoe, who plays Volkal, the Royal Vizier. All that said, my final thoughts is that even though it is leaps ahead of what we have seen in the rest of the DCU, with the exception of Wonder Woman, it doesn't do a whole lot to reinvent the wheel of comic book superhero movies. However, there are still plenty of epic, jaw-dropping moments in this film that make it worth seeing on the big screen. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all! Just kidding, but Mary Poppins returns flew in the theaters as well this past weekend. It currently has a 77% on Rotten Tomatoes with an average score of 7.3 and a 7.5 on IMDb as of December 23rd. So I'm just going to get the most obvious thing out of the way first. I can't think of another actress on the planet who could have recaptured the performance of Julie Andrews in the 1964 Mary Poppins than Emily Blunt. Like, oh my goodness, she absolutely nailed it. Like, oh my gosh, it blew my mind. Like, when we saw her in the teaser and then the trailer, like, there was no doubt in my mind, really, that she was going to kill it, because she totally did. What was also refreshing is that even though the original songs are timeless, I am glad they didn't rehash any of them. There were some very obvious similarities to a few of the new songs. And yes, there is singing in this film. Otherwise, the other performance of note is Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is more well known as being a composer, but he still plays and sings in this movie, which is no surprise. One thing that hilariously threw me off at the beginning of the film were the opening credits, because they were done like the original movie. So I was just sitting there like, okay, why isn't the movie starting yet? So in conclusion, I'm totally spoiled by the 21st century. There was also a very wonderful cameo with original actor Dick Van Dyke. To the music, I would say it was really well done, and I think that the songs themselves had a lot of important messages in them. Finally, I would say without spoiling it, that this movie does raise some eyebrows through the greater magical universe that Mary Poppins clearly occupies. So if you are in need of a good, fun, uplifting family film this holiday, I would recommend Mary Poppins Returns. Now, finally, I have Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. It didn't come out this past weekend, but it did come out the previous weekend and is easily the best film on this list. It has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 97% and an average score of 8.8 and an 8.8 on IMDb as of December 23rd. The spoiler review is up, obviously. I mentioned that at the beginning, but if you haven't seen it yet, I would recommend this film easily ahead of the rest of these films I've talked about. Like, seriously, this movie has everything. It has great characters, great plot, great action, great comedy, and the animation alone is to die for. Go see this movie. You'll be doing yourself a huge favor. So that completes this little weekend wrap-up, holiday wrap-up, whatever you want to call it. Thanks for listening. I'll hopefully be doing some in-depth reviews sometime in the future, but I just really wanted to give you a spoiler-free, condensed bullet points version for your benefit if you find yourself at the theaters this holiday season. Also, now is a good time to mention I've started a new gaming channel on YouTube called The Grid, Exploring Infinite Worlds. Go ahead and give that a look. And as usual, you can follow the podcast on the socials at Ace Cinema Central. And if I don't talk to you guys anytime soon, I'll say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Booyah!